Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
With Jeff Mannix.
What kind of bear is best? Black bear.
And Taylor Mannix.
I'm a Tony Romo fan and he retired, so now I bleed green. Go Birds!
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Phone is ringing. Oh my God.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact in the game.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
The weather outside is weather.
It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers.
You're Larry Bird.
Good afternoon! Welcome to our final hour on this finally Friday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix, Jeff and Taylor. On the microphones with you until 2 o'clock. We'll finish the hour strong with Mannix vs. Mannix, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook. Right now, though, it's time to talk to one of our favorite guests, going back pretty much from the beginning of the show. Edwin Thompson is the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas baseball team. He hails from Jay, Maine, and he's been the head coach of the Hoyas now for 6 years, but we're bringing him on right now because he's coming home for a couple baseball camps, including one near his hometown at Spruce Mountain High School, coming up on Monday. Again, Edwin Thompson, the head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, here to talk all about that with us. Edwin, great to hear your voice again, man. How are you, buddy?
Man, it's good to be back on. It's been too long. All is well. You know, it's good to talk baseball in the summertime. You obviously have that Major League Baseball draft coming up. Got the All-Star game coming up, and we can talk some baseball back in Maine. It's always a good thing.
It is always a good thing here. And I do, I suppose, want to ask how you felt this season went for your college baseball team this year. You've been a good team in the Big East this year. A 28-28 record, 9-12 in the Big East. How do you feel like this season went for your Hoyas?
Yeah, we had a disappointing 2025, and so it was kind of a reset year. We were able to kind of get back in the mix of our, you know, four teams make our playoff run, and our guys did a good job. We just didn't win enough down the stretch. We won enough down the stretch. We didn't win enough early in our conference play to make our playoffs. But, you know, 28 wins is our fourth year out of five to have, you know, 500 a record better. So, you know, relative, it's a solid year. It wasn't obviously our expectations. We always want to strive for better, but we had some good moments. Just one of those years where we just couldn't, in our conference play, win the series early enough, and then we won some late, but it was a little too late. And the league was really good this year. St. John's went to a super regional, who won our league, and so it's you know, kind of one of those year after year. It's a competitive league, so it was you know, year 22. So kind of crazy to think I've been coaching since my days at University of Maine at Farmington, and now I'm in my sixth, going to my seventh season at Georgetown. So having a ball and enjoying every moment of it.
Yeah, and Coach, it's great to hear from you. You mentioned the draft, too, coming up, and I know that there's three of your guys I saw on the MLB draft tracker, which whether that be Andrew Citron, Andrew Jurgens, or JT, can you maybe talk about them and how excited you are for maybe them to have the opportunity to continue their careers in the Major League Baseball ranks?
Yeah, you know, it's always humbling when you have players that, you know, Major League teams think that things are, you know, can get them on the next level, so... I think, you know, two of them, you know, we'll see what happens, but I think JT Rabb, we feel very, very confident that somebody will call his name. A lot of teams have turned him in, which is a big step in the draft. And so we think that he can kind of be one of our guys that will be, you know, the day two of the draft. Obviously not a first rounder, but definitely in the next, you know, 8th to 12th round in that range, hopefully. And, but you know, the draft is so unpredictable. We never know. It's just, we just go with the flow. But, yeah, we're hoping for our guys, and we want our guys to play professionally, and that's important, as well as getting a great degree. They come a chance to play professionally and live their dreams, which is awesome.
Absolutely. And do you feel like right now the kind of the development that you guys are doing at Georgetown is what Major League Baseball and minor league baseball teams are looking for at the moment?
Yeah, you know, what we try to do is we always try to assess our program. So year to year we try to go to a spring training, a fall workout of Major League, and kind of see what's going on and staying current. And then from there, you have got to have really good players, have great staff. My pitching coach, Coach Capen, and hitting coach, Coach Robinson, they both do a great job of developing our guys on a day-to-day, obviously myself and all of our assistants. So it's a lot of fun to take players from, you know, point A to point B. Like no different, we did a couple years ago with Cody Bowker when we got him from Thornton Academy and, you know, helped him on, you know, develop him a little bit. But, you know, it's just fun because the growth that happens, especially when we get guys to stay in our program for 2-3 years, they have a chance to get better, and they play in such a good league that, you know, they have a chance to play at the next level if their ability continues to develop like we hope when they get them in high school.
Yeah, and I'm sure it helps too. I mean, in JT's case, he's 6'5", right? You can't teach height. Big boy like that, it must be nice when you get some of those physical guys in the program. And how important is it too in the draft and as these guys go into the next level? Like, if you do have a guy who's 6'5" rather than 6'2", what kind of advantages do you see giving that, especially into the draft, and how teams in Major League Baseball do assess pitching now?
Well, it's really true. Like, every organization has a different matrix, what they're looking for, you know, like, some organizations like the tall, predictable college righties that throw, you know, JT's up to 97 this past spring. And so when you have guys that can command and that doesn't walk guys, there's organizations that like that. There's other guys that like, you know, just more different slots. So it's truly a crapshoot what team looks for. But generally speaking, when you're 6'5", up to 97, and you can throw strikes, you've had a lot of college innings. Those guys are valuable now in the draft, and they typically will – they'll put them right in the system and move them up as quick as they can and see if they get to the big leagues. And that's kind of, you know, the goal. We always want our guys to get not only get drafted, but move through a system. You know, we want that. That's part of our goal and our hope for all our guys that are playing, that we've had, I think, four, five, six guys that have been playing at the next level in Major League Baseball. We also have guys in independent baseball as well. So, it all helps. I think but you have to be really good. You know, at the end of the day, you can be tall and throw hard, but you got to be able to throw strikes and get guys out when it matters.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's been a lot made of college baseball and the Major League Baseball draft here with the reporting maybe, you know, a month or so ago now that Major League Baseball was looking at taking high school players out of the draft pool in the future and kind of having everybody funnel towards college baseball. You as a Division I coach now, I'm interested in – you know, your own thoughts on that and if you think that will make college baseball better or how, if that does come to fruition, how that maybe changes the landscape of what a Division I coach might be looking for or trying to do.
Well, put it like this. Think of a guy like Connor Griffin who plays for the Pirates. He'd be playing at LSU right now.
Wow.
Right? You know, so when you think about that at 19 years old, I think there's players that should go play professional baseball. Like, it just, like Mike Trout, Ken Griffey Jr., I mean, go on and on. Like, all these players that are just elite-level players that are Hall of Famers that didn't go to college. And sometimes they develop. But if they do take that out, what you're going to see is minor league college baseball, which is, at our level, the mid-major level, it's not as NIL and a lot of the stuff that goes on with things. But, like, you're talking about the SEC, you could roll out a team, you know, with three Connor Griffins, you know, a bunch of guys that pitch 96, 97 that should be in the top three rounds end up to college. And what will happen, it will all trickle down to every level, right? So our level will get better. Division two will get better. Division three will get extremely better because it's not enough spots. There's only 34 people in the roster available on a given year. So we can only have 34 players. So you think about it. That's three catchers. You know, that's two first basemen. You know, basically two guys per position and a bunch of pitchers. So it's going to get harder to play at college baseball, but it's going to also make it a little more competitive. My thoughts is they should let the guys that are really good go play. That's it. I mean, I think that's there's no holding somebody back that can really do it. But I do think if Major League Baseball, which I've heard they're going to go from 20 rounds to 15 or 12,
even
if they just did that, that will eliminate more players will be going to college. And you know, I think it'd be a good thing for college baseball, selfishly. But I think it's just the way things are. They want guys that are game ready to go to the big leagues. I think that's kind of where they want to get closer and closer to.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think the college game, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, imagine having a Connor Griffin, you know, playing in any sort of college. I mean, I feel like that would be a huge benefit to the ratings, especially on TV. to have some of those big names playing in college uniforms for a year. It'd be really fun. Like we were talking about, Roman Anthony would be another guy who would have played college baseball. Like how cool would that have been? But yeah, let's talk about too, Edwin, what you got coming on. I know, Coach, you're up in Maine again here, this this annual camp that you do up at Spruce Mountain High School Field in Livermore Falls, Maine. Ages 8th grade and younger here at this all-star baseball camp. Tech Baseball Academy at Georgetown University, also a presenter on that. Tell us a little bit about what's going on this year and what kids can look forward to. I know you got free lunches, free shirts, so anybody who's going to be involved with this has a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, it's only $15, and my goal is if anybody that can't afford it, I want them to reach out to me, DM us, let us know, because I don't want anybody not to be able to make it. Obviously, it's a one-day camp, but we try to have a give them an experience. You know, I have a lot of my former players that I've coached through the camps, and now are coaching college, or they're playing in college, and so it's a really cool event. Personally, it's one of my favorite, and it's my priority for me because I've been coming. You know, Maine's such a big part of my life and my upbringing, and all I want to do is just kind of pay it forward. And so I try to come back. We have a great time. We have a lot of giveaways. We have, you know, autographs from our players, and I give out a lot of different, you know, cool gear and things of that nature. But it's just a lot of fun. It's obviously, we make it competitive. There's always three parts of our practices at Georgetown, which is fun, you know, the competition, and then the learning part of it. And so those are all intertwined into our day. And we do skills and drills, you know, kind of thing. We have gameplay, controlled games, obviously, where we're not ripping, you know, kids aren't going to be throwing 100 pitches, but it's just more, it's more of a fun day to kind of get out and play. But it's also for me to get back in my community at the youth level, which is a lot of fun. So it's a lot of fun. So if you have HoyaBaseballCamps.com, you can sign up at Tech Baseball on Instagram and Twitter. If people want to reach out and they can't afford it, please, I will cover their cost. It's not about the money. It's about just having a great day of baseball in my home area.
And I know this is something you do like to do on an annual basis here. Do you have kids who come in year after year that you kind of get used to seeing?
It's so fun to see their growth.
Yeah.
And throughout the years, you know, I've been doing it. I mean, I started back in 2004. So, you know, I've had kids that came through the camps when they were 9, 10. Now their kids are coming, or, you know, whatever. So it's truly a warm feeling for me. But I do see the kids over year to year. And I think, you know, like there's fun kids, you know, that we hopefully move on helping, you know, move just not initially to Georgetown, but any college. You go talk about playing college baseball. And so we talk about that and we try to track them and help them. Like I said, I have four former campers that all play college baseball that didn't play it for me, but they all came through our camps. And it's something that I always try to take a lot of pride in and help the families out when it comes to general recruiting information at the event as well, even though they're eighth graders, but they're getting to high school. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, and I know right now in the soccer world, development and access has been a huge debate after the World Cup with their crash out. We've heard it from Alexi Lalas, many people defending the pay-to-play process. But in your mind, Coach, I mean, just listening to you say it here about your willingness to provide whoever can't afford, you know, you'll pay for them, but $15 is extremely affordable. How important is it in baseball in America to have accessibility like that in the development to keeping us ahead of the rest of the world in this sport?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, you look at the countries that have had thrived, the Latin American countries. I mean, they don't have all the things and the resources that we have in general. They just play the game. They go in the back, they play sandlot. And that's kind of, you know, when my idea for this, when I was 12, John Winken, the legendary coach at Maine, came to Farmington, Maine at an all-star event, like gave us a free clinic. And it was just something that I'll never forget. And, you know, I always felt, since I've been a head coach and a Division I coach now for a while, and I just think hey, you can do it. You know, like, you know, I think I'm the only Division I head baseball coach from Maine. That's coaching at Division I. Like, obviously, there's 300 Division I teams, but just not only that, it's just providing opportunity. And I think it's something that get off your phone, you know, get off the game, come out and run around for a while, at least, you know, get a shirt, you know, get some food, get some pizza. Like, it's truly, for me, it's really enjoyable. But I think the more that we can do that when we have the opportunity to do it, I wish I could come home all the time. But I do try to make it, I work my schedule around this camp and this event. So, because the days after that, we do a team camp for Georgetown with Bowdoin, USM, Southern Maine Community College, and St. Joe's We have 22 teams coming from all over New England with 25 college coaches, so that's a different model that we have Tuesday through Friday.
Wow, that's really something there. Yeah. So, I mean, keeping yourself busy, I suppose, which as a Division I coach, you probably are always busy, but it must – I'm guessing you're probably somebody who likes to stay busy anyway, so having all of these things to do, even in your quote-unquote off time, is probably right up your alley, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, the high school camps, you know, is my goal and vision with that is we try to provide – we have over 150 kids from Maine that will be at this event with 25 college coaches from all over New England. They'll have a chance to have exposure. And that's another part of grassroots where not everyone can afford to go all over the country and do this and that. And again, I try to do something simple like that. It's also it's recruiting tool, right? Like we got two kids out of this last year. So, you know, and they're both Maine kids. So obviously I'm recruiting the best players I can in the country, but if I can get a couple of Maine kids every year, once every couple of years, it works out pretty well for the Hoyas. So, yeah, truly blessed to do what I get to do. And, you know, I don't consider it work. I just, you know, the paperwork, all the logistical stuff prior, when I go on the field, it's just that's the best part of being in my role, being with the kids.
For you as a baseball guy, too, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, how detrimental could it be for Major League Baseball if they go into a work stoppage right now with it feels like, I mean, you mentioned the Connor Griffins. All this young talent is starting to explode onto the scene, the new faces to replace the Mike Trouts and the Justin Verlanders. What do you make of this work stoppage, and do you think it could really damage the sport at the major league level in terms of its viewership?
Yeah, I mean, in 94, you know, when it started, the last one, you know, the long one anyway, it was truly tough. You know, I think it makes the momentum that baseball has right now. Yeah. It's going so much. It's going so fast, and it's so good. And I hope that they don't do that. But from everyone we've talked to, and you know, that's why you're seeing a lot of guys like are going back and not going back to college because they just like it's better game right now for them at the minor league level, and they're not going to have a stop of work. Which you know, who knows how that will shake out for the minor leaguers. But I do think there's a lot of uncertainty, and it would be a difficult. It'd be a sad day because I think baseball is finally. We're passing a lot of sports when it comes to popularity in the state, in the states, and worldwide, just because of all the you know the unbelievable worldwide talent we have, like Ohtani and Vlad Guerrero and all these different players. It makes our game so special, and I don't know. I hope it doesn't, but everyone I've talked to at the highest levels, they're like, it's just a matter of when, you know, not if. So but we'll see. Hope they're all wrong because I think the game's in a really good spot.
Well, speaking of things that are in a good spot, I'd love to get your coaching perspective right now because the Boston Red Sox are playing their best baseball of the year. Chad Tracy now is a winning manager in Major League Baseball. What have you made of Chad Tracy's job here of, at least for the moment, turning around the Boston Red Sox and maybe making, at least starting to make some fans believe that something is possible this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, change. You know, I remember when I was working at Duke University and Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, gave me an analogy one time. He's like, change is good. And sometimes change is hard. It doesn't make it, you know, firing people in the front office or whatever they had to do. But sometimes change can be good because you can rally around that. You can really get around a new manager, a new philosophy. And, heck, he's trying to prove himself that he's worthy of that job, right? He's an interim coach, I'm sure, and manager anyway. And so he's going to show, hey, I'm the person for this job to make sure this organization gets back to the playoffs and gets, you know, back to the World Series and all those different things. The standard is when you have that, you know, that excitement, you know, it's just going to change the clubhouse. And that something just simple as a change philosophy, just energy, you know, it's obviously the proof's in the pudding so far. So if they make some trades at the, you know, deadline and make a push down the stretch, it's going to be fun. So, I always am a big believer that the manager, yeah, they is a lot of the players, but the manager and the environment that they create does have a lot to do with it. Not saying Alex Cora didn't have that. It's just, you know, sometimes things just go run its course and that happens. And so, you know, that's just part of professional sports. So not a long career as a manager in professional sports. Like it's a very short career at times for the average manager. It's like 2 to 3 years, 4 years at best, and then if you're hoping another opportunity if you get fired. So it just happens, but I'm happy for the Sox and the way they're playing.
Yeah, it's not often you find your Bill Belichicks that stay in one spot in New England for that long, man. I mean, it's rare. You have to have success, and success is hard at the professional level to be consistently year in and year out. And last one for me while we're on the coaches thing, Tony Vitello. Huge fan of him. Yeah. Loved him at Tennessee. What a difficult situation it feels like he's been thrusted into. And I don't know, you know, how much there is to blame for him with what's happening in San Francisco. I know Buster Posey maybe not have put him in the best situation with all these personalities that are now maybe on the trading block. But what kind of challenge, I mean, from your perspective, do you think Tony had to go through from going from the college level to the pro level? Because I know there are some big differences to managing, especially some of those personalities.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just the amount of people that, you know, in college, you know, you're going to have a couple of assistant coaches, some support staff, you know, it's a very small group. But when you're talking about running the whole organization and you have tons of analysts and tons of different people you have to answer to, you kind of can get away from your strength, which is, you know, again, his energy and things of that nature. But you don't always have the control of, like, you know, and I either control who I recruit. You know, he doesn't know. He doesn't have any say who they draft and who they sign. And obviously they have some in the free agent world, but, like, it's really you're dependent on the GM and then the baseball operations staff to really kind of make yourself in a good situation. So it is difficult, and you have to try to manage it. And he's smart and sharp, and I'm sure he'll figure it out. But it's just, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, do you want to be, you know, it's like I tell my guys all the time, do you want to be a professional baseball player? I want to move through a system and get to the big leagues and then get your second contract in the big league. And that's really where it comes down to. And for him, having never done any minor leagues or anything professionally, it's a whole different world. Since spring training is different. It's just different. And so, you know, the baseball part is baseball, but, like, all the other things, the media, I mean, you know, maybe if it's your small market club, it may not be as, but when you're talking about a franchise like the Giants, it's a tough road. And so I hope it works out for him. I know it's not easy. So I really am just watching from afar, because I think it's, you know, you don't have as much control. I think that's probably the biggest thing I can say. You don't have much control as you did at the college level when you're the head coach of the team.
That's a great perspective to have. So thank you very much for it. And I do want to kind of close things here. You know, we talked about the Tech Baseball Academy, but you are doing another baseball camp in conjunction with the Portland Sea Dogs at the end of the month here as well. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that too.
Yeah, that's another fun one. A couple of years ago, you know, I was able to get in contact with the Sea Dogs and they asked, you know, they wanted somebody to run their one of their camps, and it worked out. We do 2 days at Wainwright Sports Complex. It's July 28th and 29th at Wainwright. And then on July 30th, we go to the Dental Park at Hadlock Field. Make sure I had the sponsors right. And they go and we play, we practice, we hit off the green monster. We have a full morning of workouts. And then we have lunch, you know, we give out prizes and things of that nature as well. But the cool part is the Sea Dogs coaches and some of the players come out and sign autographs and meet the kids. And so it's really intertwined with the community. And that's July 28th to the 30th. We still have some spots available, but they're filling up very fast. And so that one we have to kind of cap because of, you know, we have a lot of college coaches come work it. We have former players, high school coaches. So it's a great, I'm there. I run the camp. And again, I'm fortunate to come up to Maine a couple times a year, and I always enjoy every time I go to the Hadlock. It's nothing like, I remember when I first opened, and I remember seeing Charles Johnson and all the great players that they have come through the system when they were the Marlins. And that's HoyaBaseballCamps.com. Again, same thing. I want to help all kids, you know, afford it. If they can't, please reach out to us. I have scholarships available for kids, and so definitely love to have that. You know, continue to have a great camp. We usually have about 70 kids, so they get a lot of instruction. It's a 9 to 2. They get games, and it's a really great time for a great week. So it's a lot of fun.
Again, the website is HoyasBaseballCamps.com. You can also find them at Tech Baseball on social media, and that's TEC, by the way. There's no H, just TEC Baseball. Look for that on social media. And Edwin Thompson, head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas. Again, the latest camp coming up Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. for 8th graders and younger at Spruce Mountain High School. Edwin, welcome back to Maine here when you get here. Really appreciate it, and look forward to talking again with you, man. Good luck with all these camps.
We'll talk. Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks for all you guys do.
Happy to do it. Again, Edwin Thompson, head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas baseball team from right here in Jay, Maine. We will be right back. It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix on a Finally Friday.